Hey, do you want to get your digital comics for even cheaper? Well, we are here to help. Go to comixology.com, and when you buy $15 worth of comics, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. That's right. Thanks to your buddies in the Infamous podcast, we're getting you $5 off every time you spend $15 at comixology.com. Just use the code Infamous. Hey, welcome back to episode 131 of the Infamous podcast, Run, 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 Runaways. I'm Brian.
Okay, that's a weird name.
Well, we're talking about the Runaways this week from Hulu, and I figured that'd be
that's
a fun one to
run,
do. It's
run,
run, run, run, run, runaways. Runaways. Like the song.
Yeah.
Anywho, before we get into that, though, we have all sorts of fun news things to talk about.
Yep.
So... we'll just dive right in. They put out the Incredibles 2 voice cast and official character descriptions. I don't know what you saw or read.
Just the pictures.
Yeah. So it's all the same people coming back. I did not realize the guy that was the voice of Dash. His name is Huckleberry Huck Milner.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I think he's new.
Is he new?
Yeah,
okay.
He's a kid.
All right. And then Violet Parr is Sarah Vowell. Is she new?
No, she's...
Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah. Jack-Jack doesn't have, like, a voice, you know, because he's goo-goo-gaga,
right,
whatever. So, and then Sam Jackson is back. Brad Bird is back as Edna.
Well,
which
yeah.
cracks me. I love the fact that he's the voice of Edna. That makes me laugh. Bob Odenkirk is Winston Devour.
That's the new villain.
He's the new villain. And it says here he leads a world-class telecommunications company alongside his genius sister, Evelyn, who's voiced by Catherine Keener,
okay.
which is kind of cool. And so, yeah, they're infatuated with the Supers. He has been a supporter of the Supers returning, and he needs a hero or three to help him change public perception to bring them back into the sublight, or sunlight, sublight. Back to sublight speed. Jonathan Banks is back.
He's got nefarious reasons why.
I'm sure. And then,
well, Jonathan Banks is
he's
playing...
back as Rick Dicker.
He didn't play him in the first movie.
He didn't?
No, it was.
I thought it was okay.
I forget the guy's name. He's the guy who wrote the short that went with
Incredibles. Oh, okay, okay. And then Sophia Bush is a young overachiever wannabe super who's a mega fan of Elastigirl. So she's getting her own buddy this time
okay.
out. But it doesn't sound like she's going to turn Buddy into a supervillain like Mr. Incredible did.
Right.
I don't know. I'm excited, man. June 15th, this movie hits. The first Incredibles is my favorite Pixar movie.
Yeah.
It's my favorite Fantastic Four movie. You know, I'm excited.
It's
oh,
your favorite Fantastic Four.
And then Isabella Rossellini is playing an ambassador who's committed to the legalization of superheroes.
She's probably a super.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited, man. Like I said, this was my favorite of the Pixar movies thus far.
They haven't mentioned Jason Lee coming back yet?
No, not yet. Well, he got all chopped up in the engine.
No,
so.
No.
But
yeah,
he didn't have superpowers.
Dash in the first one was Spencer Fox.
Oh, okay, okay.
And that, which obviously, yeah, and Sarah Vowell is Violet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So the funny thing
Bud Lucky played Rick Dicker.
Okay, okay.
And he's like an animator for Disney.
Cool. So there's a little switch this time around, too, where Bob is going to stay home with the kids.
Well, sure.
While Helen is off playing superhero or being a superhero, like not playing because Elastigirl is pretty badass. But they don't realize that Jack-Jack has powers yet is part of it.
They seen that in the end of the last one.
Did they?
Yeah. And that's what the whole thing in the preview is. You've got
well,
powers.
But like that's not like kind of a, you know, it's not in scene of anything. There.
Right.
Anyway, so I mean, they're gonna find out, obviously, but
yeah.
I think it'll be over time finding out the different powers that he possesses. But yeah, man, I'm super excited for this one. I think it should be great.
I wonder why Bud Lucky's actually not playing Rick Dicker.
Is he alive?
Yeah.
Well, maybe
he's actually in line. He plays Chuckles the Clown in the Toy Story movies.
Okay. Oh, okay.
He played Rick Dicker in Incredibles and Jack Attack. He's played Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh.
Okay.
And Boundin. Boundin's the short that he wrote and he narrated in that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to do some research and let everyone know.
He played Rick Dicker on a Disney Infinity game, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Incredibles part of the Disney Infinity game.
Yeah.
Is, of the first of Volume 1 was the best one. The best one of Volume 1. It was so much fun to play.
Yeah, he's mainly a character designer, animator.
Maybe he's just busy animating and didn't have time to go do. Yeah.
And Sesame Street.
Cool. Very cool. Alrighty. The next bit, moving on. Dan Slott has been a fan. Well, I mean, it's been announced for a while that he was leaving Amazing Spider-Man.
And I'm taking over.
Well, that's the big news. But no, he's heading over to Iron Man. And he put a tweet out that said he was taking the hyphen with him. So Iron Man would have a hyphen now.
Okay.
It was a joke, but it was like, so then there were like 300 tweets back to him where it's Spider-Man with a space and no hyphen.
Okay.
So yeah, I think people kind of, push that as far as it would go. My thought on this is he's essentially been riding Iron Man for the last 2 years, masquerading as Peter Parker.
Yeah.
So, sure, it's a good move for him.
So, does the story continue with Peter Parker being Parker Industries, or does he lose it?
I hope he loses it.
And just goes back to living over in Aunt May's house.
I don't think he goes back to living in Aunt May's house, but like, I definitely think he needs to get back to living and being based out of New York.
Sweet. John Ratzenberger is still the Underminer.
Oh, nice.
I just happened to look that cast up.
Very cool. The Underminer. That was hilarious.
I am the Underminer.
You know, I will give Slott credit. I mean, he's been on the book for 10 years.
Is this just... You know, is Marvel trying to balance out now that Bendis is gone?
I think so.
Yeah.
I also think Slott should have left 2 years ago on this title. When Superior ended, it should have been the end of his run. Because Superior, to go out on that note of Superior Spider-Man.
The only time that I've picked up Spider-Man in the last like few years was Superior Spider-Man. It was a fun read.
Great.
I mean, I bought the Amazings that led up to it, but it was just a fun story. I mean, you know, Dr. Octopus is Peter Parker.
Yeah, running around Peter Parker's body was hilarious. Like, and then Peter's creepy, still in there.
Creepy and weird.
Yeah.
But fun because it... You know, it's nice to see them do something different with characters once in a while.
Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of...
I think that's
of,
why I'm a big fan of Spider-Man 2099. Right. Because at the time when I started collecting books, it's like I knew who Spider-Man was. Mm-hmm. I read comic books and watched the cartoons and watched, you know, the live action show and that. But to have a new person, a new version of the character was refreshing.
Yeah.
And it's always refreshing when you do something like that.
And like, I'm not a big fan of Silver Surfer. That's the other book he writes right now.
Oh, okay.
Slott, but
I didn't know that he was writing
Silver
Surfer.
But people really enjoy it. It looks fun, you know. But again, I'm not a big Silver
Surfer
fan.
You're not a Surfer fan.
So it's not one I would seek
out. If the
out.
Fans are enjoying it, you know, I think that, it, like you said, with the last 2 years of Amazing, it's like if the fans weren't enjoying seeing Peter Parker as Iron Man, then it makes sense that he's going to go to Iron Man and give that a spin.
You know, I mean, I haven't been getting...
They haven't said who's actually taking over Amazing yet?
They may have. I'm looking here. I don't see
it. Oh, wait. Johnny Podorf. Hey!
Johnny Michael Podorf? Do you know that guy?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, I'll give it a try.
Give it a shot.
They've given worse people... A try before, so...
But, I mean, he's had a really epic run, right?
Phil Jimenez to do the art, though.
Yeah. I like Ramos' art.
Yeah, Ramos is fun.
His art really works for Spider-Man. But, like, so some of the storylines he's
done,
right?
Is Ramos going to stay on the book?
I hope so.
Yeah.
But Brand New Day.
Yeah.
Big Time.
Yep.
Spider-Verse.
Did he do Spider Island?
Spider Island.
Yeah.
You know, and then Superior. I mean, I would put those five arcs against anyone as far as Spider-Man goes. I mean, they're all five pretty good. I mean, Straczynski's run started out good and kind of petered out, but that's kind of Straczynski.
Yeah.
Obviously, I like a lot of the
70s stuff. Yeah. I was going to say the 70s stuff was some of my favorite stuff. I mean, that's obviously just go buy essentials and read that stuff. That's the best.
The mid 80s when Kraven came in was really good. Yeah. Kraven's Last Hunt. Leading right up into Secret Wars was good. The like the Spider-Man stuff that led right into Secret Wars. I think coming back with the black suit was really interesting.
It's one of those things where you could do like, you know, multiple episodes on good Spider-Man stories.
Oh yeah.
No, I mean one of my favorites is the one where I've totally forgot his name now. Goblin's son, Harry. When he was high,
when he was doing drugs
and that whole storyline where it was like, you know, they took the what you call it off the books and went ahead and did the story and
showed the code. I didn't know
that when I read it. I read it as a like one of the trade paperbacks and I was just like, this is a really good story telling you that hey, you know, drugs aren't good.
It was a real life story, which was cool.
And that, and then the Sin Eater story, where they killed off. I can't remember anybody's name today.
Yeah,
inventory's got me gone.
Yeah,
the police officer. Worked with him.
Not Gwen's dad. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I forget his name now.
No, her.
She became Ghost.
She died.
Yeah, but she came back and became a thing.
She don't come back. They
all come back. But no, I'm excited to see what Slott does on Iron Man. I'll probably check out the first few issues just to see what it's like. I'll probably go back to buying Spider-Man now because I hadn't really enjoyed it for the last
year or so. Who the writer is.
Yeah, depending on who the writer is. But yeah. All right. So then our last bit of news is the Oscars were announced this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were up and watching them or not.
How does that work?
I know, I'm kidding. So interesting thing, they were the nominations were announced by Tiffany Haddish from Girls.
I remembered the name. Oh, it's Jean DeWolf.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So the Oscar nominations were announced by Tiffany Haddish, who she was in Keanu and Girls Night. She's a stand up comic, she's hilarious. And Andy Serkis.
Did he do it as Golem?
No, he just looked like
did he get cut in tidy. Half at some point?
No, not really.
Did he fight? Did he fight for his race?
Yes.
While he was doing,
he did. Yeah. He fought for motion capture.
Does he tell about? That is his race, actually.
Motion capture shapeshifters.
Yes, exactly. Those will be your true robot overlords that you always talk about.
Man, I can't wait.
They're motion captured.
Oh, one quick thing. If you want to catch up on anything Dan Slott wrote for Amazing Spider-Man, head over to Comixology and use our code Infamous. And you get $5 off whenever you spend $15, like you heard at the beginning of the episode.
Pimp.
Anyway, so we're going to go through this. I'm not going to go through every category.
What? No, I thought that was what the whole episode. I thought that was the whole episode.
So, all right. Okay, so Best Picture had 9 nominations. They have room for 10.
Don't they always have 9 now?
Well, they can do as many as 10. So,
oh, okay.
So it's at 9. So Best Pictures are Call Me by Your. Okay, first off, I've only seen 1 of the Best Picture movies this year.
Is this the 90th Academy Awards?
I think so.
Wow. Sorry, I'm actually looking.
Yes,
it up.
The 90th annual. All right.
Since I was at work, I'm looking it up now.
So Best Picture is Call Me by Your Name. The Darkest
Never
Hour.
Heard that one.
Which we got to take Angel to see because it's got her boyfriend. It features her boyfriend.
Which boyfriend?
Churchill. It's who Gary Oldman plays.
Oh, is that that movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dunkirk. Yeah. Get Out, which is the one I've seen. Lady Bird.
Okay.
Phantom Thread, which is Daniel Day-Lewis's last movie. The Post.
What's that about? Is he retiring? Or
yeah, he's just... You know, he's done 12 movies. He's done. So The Post, The Shape of Water, and then Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Which I did see the preview for that.
Now, I will, before the Oscars go, I will definitely see Three Billboards and The Shape of Water, because those are two I've been really wanting to get out and see.
Right.
And I have a couple free movie passes to use, so why not? I'm really surprised that Get Out was nominated for Best Picture.
Have you watched it? I haven't watched it yet.
Well, we talked about this when we did our best of movies.
Yeah.
And I liked it, don't get me wrong. But it took me three tries to get through it because I kept falling asleep.
Ah, okay.
You know, I didn't think it was. I don't know. It was interesting.
Do you feel that Wonder Woman cool should have been nominated? Instead?
No, I would have put Logan in the place of that, honestly. But so this is interesting. These are nine interesting films for sure. Okay, so lead actor is Timothy Chalamet.
Oh,
for Call Me by Your Name. I don't know who he is. I don't know if he's been in other things.
I don't
things.
Even know what Call Me By Your Name is.
It's the Army. It's got Army Hammer in it. That's all I know.
Oh, okay.
So Daniel Day-Lewis is obviously nominated for Phantom Thread because he's
this is his last
only
movie.
Done 12 movies, and he only does movies.
Has he really
where
only
he'll
done
get,
12 no, movies?
He's done a few more, but. So Daniel Day-Lewis is Phantom Thread. Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out. Yeah. He's the main character in Get Out. I don't know if I would have put him in for best actor, but whatever. Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour.
As Winston Churchill.
As Winston Churchill. And then Denzel Washington for Roman J. Israel Esquire. Now, Daniel Day-Lewis gets nominated because he does these movies, right? He does so few movies.
Denzel
and
gets
he
nominated
does,
for
well,
the same reason.
But Denzel does a lot of movies.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, is you hear a lot of Denzel or that Daniel Day-Lewis is the greatest actor of our time, right? Like a lot of people will say that.
Okay.
I'm going to argue that Gary Oldman is the greatest actor of our time because Daniel Day-Lewis cherry picks things and doesn't really veer outside of like hardcore, hard drama.
Academy Award nominating
type stuff.
Right.
And Gary Oldman is a freaking chameleon.
Right.
Like at one point, he played so many American roles, he lost his British accent,
right?
You know, and had to relearn it. You don't see Daniel Day-Lewis going and doing a cool ass movie like The Fifth Element,
right?
You know, and you get Gary Oldman in there, and you go and you watch it, and you're like, holy crap, that's Gary Oldman! I forgot about that. You know,
The Professional.
Yeah,
I mean, the reason why he was in The Fifth Element was because of The Professional, yeah. And but you know, he's willing to work outside of the box.
Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm throwing that gauntlet down, people. Like, let me know what you think, if you agree or disagree. But I would say that Gary Oldman, because of the fact that he's a total chameleon and he doesn't have to go method to do it, is a much better actor.
But like, what makes an actor the greatest actor of our time?
In my opinion, it's someone who can play a lot of different
our
roles.
Time.
Well, that's different for everybody, yeah. Right?
Because it's like, who was the greatest actor of that time? What
Buster
was
Keaton.
That time? Greatest comedic, one of the greatest comedic actors was Buster
Keaton.
Keaton
was amazing.
If you were like doing decade, do you do it by decade? Do you do it by generation?
So if I go from like let's say generation, we'll go 80s to today.
Okay,
like that. You know, he wasn't a kid actor, but like he came in as an adult.
Right. Okay.
Like Daniel Day-Lewis wasn't a kid actor.
Okay.
He came in as an adult. I go Oldman. Daniel Day-Lewis is in the top five for sure.
Okay.
He is amazing. I put Johnny Depp on that list, even though he's kind of fallen off the rails a little bit. But
and he came in as a kid.
But he's good at, well, kind of, as a teenager. Yeah. But Johnny Depp's another one of those kind of, he can chameleon himself into different roles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But a lot of the roles are the same for him.
Yeah, but then, see, and I put Denzel Washington on that list, but Denzel plays a lot of the same kind of roles. And at certain points, he's just playing Denzel, just
but
like
Denzel's
Jack Nicholson.
Denzel's done stuff like Goldman, where you look at the beginning of his career, where it was like a lot of crazy stuff.
Oh,
plus,
yeah. Like Ricochet?
Yeah.
With John Lithgow?
Yeah, I watched that the other day.
Messed up.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. What about Lithgow?
I put Lithgow on that list.
Yeah.
I put him in the top 10.
Yeah.
You know, he.
I mean, if
he
you've
did,
ever seen A World According to Garp,
yeah,
his role in that, and
well,
then it's like, you
Ricochet
know,
Ricochet and Harry and the Hendersons within this within a 24-month span.
Yeah.
And that's playing the most vile of villains.
Yeah.
And then the most wholesome of dads.
Right.
You know, and I remember seeing, I saw Ricochet, like, we were on vacation, we had free HBO, everyone's asleep, and I'm like flipping through channels, and like Ricochet came on, and I'm like, oh, what's this? And I watched that whole thing, and I was maybe
it was Denzel 11. In his underwear that made you stop, right?
Maybe. So, no, it was he was in it was at the beginning. He was in the police officer uniform and everything. I'm like, look, cop movie. But yeah, all right. So moving on, lead actress, you have Sally Hawkins in The Shape of Water. Frances McDormand for Three Billboards and Outside Ebbing. Sorry. Who do you think? Do you have a pick from the actors?
No.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen one of these movies.
Okay. So Frances McDormand from Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, which I think is an interesting one. I have no idea how to say her name.
Saoirse
Ronan like that, for Lady Bird, and then Meryl Streep for The Post. Part of me is Meryl Streep's in there like Denzel and Daniel Day-Lewis. She does a movie, so they nominate her.
She does. Maybe it's because it's the Academy.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah.
The
People's Choice Award isn't even the People's Choice Award.
True. I do want to see I, Tonya because
Saoirse.
Okay.
The way it is on Wikipedia.
She's an interesting one. She did that The Host. That was the Stephanie Meyers movie.
I've never seen that.
It was actually pretty decent. Not that I'm a huge like fan of Stephanie Meyers writing storytelling.
Seen, read all the Twilights and
we've talked about this.
The Lovely Bones.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
That
and
I liked.
Then there's where's it at? There's one I watched with her that I recommend called Byzantium.
Okay. I haven't seen that one.
Neil Jordan directed it.
Oh, cool.
And it's a vampire movie. Ooh. Yeah. And it's got her and Gemma Arterton are in it.
Okay, cool.
I recommend that one. That's all right. I like how I just clicked on it on Wikipedia and they call it an Irish horror fantasy thriller.
Okay. Sold.
I'm in. I mean, I believe that it was filmed in Ireland and all that. And Johnny Lee Miller's in it too.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I like Johnny Lee Miller. All right. So on to supporting actor. We have Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project.
Should we do director before these actors? Directors are what do the movies.
Yeah, well, directors are after the actors. So Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project. Woody Harrelson for Three Billboards. Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water. Christopher Plummer? Christopher Plummer for All the Money in the World. And then Sam Rockwell
for
Three
Billboards.
Wouldn't
it be so cool if his name was Christopher Plunder?
Oh, that's why I started. All right. I would pull Christopher Plummer out of this and replace him with Patrick Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe the only reason Christopher Plummer is getting any recognition like this is because he replaced Kevin Spacey.
And
they went and did
it
in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I do believe that is the only reason he's getting these nominations. It's the only reason he won the Golden Globe. It's kind of a middle finger to Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
Which, fair enough. When you're a predator.
Did he actually win the Golden Globe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's just one of those things where it's like, I feel like Jean-Luc Picard was so much more deserving for what he did with Professor X.
Yeah.
Why
do you call him Jean-Luc Picard?
Anyway.
His name's Patrick.
Sir
Patrick Stewart.
So I was reading an article and they kept calling him Sir Stewart. And it's like, no, you unintelligible American douche. It's Sir the first name
is.
Not Sir and whatever the last name is. Unless that person thinks his name is Stuart Patrick, then he'd be right.
Oh, boy.
But...
Oh boy.
All right. So then supporting actresses are Mary J. Blige for Mudbound. And every time I see this, I have to fight saying Mudblood.
oh, okay. Yeah.
You have Allison Janney for I, Tonya, which from what I understand, she's fantastic as Tonya Harding's mom. I just don't care. So I'm fascinated with that story because I like the Olympics, especially the Winter Olympics.
Then just go watch like the documentaries that ESPN.
Oh, and I have.
And what I'm saying.
The Tonya Harding 30 on 30 was amazing.
That's right. What I'm like, damn, why do they, why?
I don't know.
Why?
You have Leslie Manville for The Phantom Thread. You have Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird. I think it's pretty cool. Laurie Metcalf is getting nominated. And then
She wins. Roseanne comes back on. And when her credit comes on, it should say Academy Award winning.
So, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome if they did that. Octavia Spencer.
Octavia Spencer for Shape of Water. She has quietly, over the last 5 years, turned into this just amazing ensemble player who takes these small parts and really turns them into something fabulous. She was awesome in The Help.
Hidden Figures.
She's great.
Yeah.
And then she was in, it was with Steve Carell, where you bring your dumb friend.
Oh, the dinner thing?
Yeah. She was in that, and her character could like talk to animals or spirits or something like that. And she did this thing with her eyes where she like bulges them out.
Yeah.
But like she was hilarious because she was so, her character was so serious about it, and you know, it was pretty funny. I really like her a lot. All right, so
she's great in Hidden Figures.
Yeah, Hidden Figures is a really good movie.
All three ladies in Hidden Figures did an excellent job.
Yeah.
Portraying, you know, yep. real people.
Absolutely.
Are we doing directors now?
Now we're on to directors.
Okay.
So we have Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk.
Okay.
We have Jordan Peele for Get Out. We have Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird. Paul Thomas Anderson for Phantom Thread. And then Guillermo del Toro for Shape of Water. I pull out Jordan Peele and I put in James Mangold.
Okay.
You're
on that Logan thing, like,
dude,
hardcore.
I loved Logan.
Like, I thought Logan was really well done.
I would have liked to have seen Logan get in here. Obviously, Baby Driver was my favorite movie of the year, and
right.
I think the direction in Baby Driver was great. But when you look at this list, I don't think it's in the top five. You know what I mean?
Like best director.
Yeah, I can objectively say Edgar Wright did an amazing job, but. So there was a big deal that Greta Gerwig didn't get nominated for a Golden Globe.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that they're just going to give her the Oscar, but this seems like it's Guillermo del Toro's Oscar to lose.
Yeah.
So
should have done Pacific Rim too.
I think Dunkirk came out too long ago. Cause it was a summer movie.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was like fall because it came out on Blu-ray right around Christmas. There's only like a 2 or 3 month window there.
Yeah. But I don't know. It'll be interesting because I don't think Nolan's won.
We don't get to vote on these anyways. The Academy does. They get them sent to them for free.
I know.
Free copies of this stuff.
I wish we got free copies of this stuff. All right. Animated features. You have Boss Baby, which I don't know if you watched. It's on Netflix. It's worth watching.
I didn't have an interest in it.
You have The Breadwinner, which I don't even know what that is. Coco.
That's your winner right there.
Ferdinand and Loving Vincent. My question is, where is the Lego Batman movie?
Not there.
Because the Lego movie got snubbed too, if you remember.
Well, yeah.
The Lego Batman movie is hilarious. And it's awesome, and it was so well done.
No.
But, I would say, the Lego Movie is better than Boss Baby or Ferdinand. Easy.
Okay.
So anyway, all right.
Whole thing that, you know, it's a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Comic book movies do not get nominated.
No.
Unless somebody commits suicide.
Yeah. I mean, you agree with
or
me.
ODs.
You agree with me on that. Or is murdered by one of the Olsen twins.
Or whatever,
allegedly.
Whatever happened. That was a mercy nomination and a mercy award.
Yeah.
You know,
so
just
you agree with me on that.
I think
I've always thought it was like, you know, what?
He was a good actor. Don't get me wrong. Don't get mad. Don't get mad at me. But he was not an Academy Award winning actor, and especially for the Joker.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You could have put Jack Black in that role and he could have played it the same way.
He would have played it the same way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So adapted screenplay. You have Call Me By Your Name by James Ivory.
We're literally doing an Oscar nomination show right now.
All
right.
So
we don't have to do adapted screenplays and all that type of stuff.
So
They can go look at that stuff. Put the links up.
On the link will be in the show notes. Baby Driver did get film editing, sound editing, and sound mixing, though.
Star Wars got a nomination for original score.
Yep, and Star Wars got nominated for sound editing and sound mixing, and something else.
The stuff that nobody cares about.
But so here's the thing about Baby Driver, though, that sound editing, the way that they lined up music beats to like gunshots and doors closing, like it. That right there is a work of art that needs to be recognized. So, all right.
Then it probably will be.
All right.
But I'm willing to bet that Dunkirk wins a lot of awards.
Yeah, Dunkirk is going to win a lot of awards. You're absolutely right there. Okay. So that's half our show.
Yeah, I know. That's why I stopped it.
Let's talk about Runaways. You just watched it. I rewatched it.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Boring.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
You didn't...
I fell asleep during a couple different episodes.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay. So why?
Because it wasn't about them. It was about their parents. This was Melrose Place Goes Bad.
So it is Josh Schwartz.
Yeah.
Who did the OC.
Which
and
I've
Gilmore
never watched.
Or not Gilmore Girls.
I was about to say
Gossip thing. Girl and Chuck.
Okay.
So,
So it was a bunch of supervillains from Chuck who...
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. The show's called The Runaways. It's Marvel's Runaways. Mm-hmm. Marvel's Runaways is about the kids who run away in the first issue.
The comic got to the kids right away.
Yeah.
I think they took a gamble saying we're gonna get another season. So let's actually take the time and set this up beforehand. Like this is almost like a prequel to the actual story.
I'm not sold on that. If they came out and said that, I still wouldn't be sold on it. Because I'm like, if you're going to base something off of a comic book, at least use the comic book. Not just the characters and make them look like the comic book characters in that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we don't need all the story of the parents and, you know, a new villain who's now the villain that everybody hates and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
Now, I liked the show. I liked it. Like,
I thought it was boring, but I liked it. I mean, it was just, it plodded along.
It was
10 episodes?
10.
You could have done 5 and I would have been fine.
I definitely agree. Like, 8. Like, yeah. 8 to 5. I think a lot of these superhero
shows...
If I had to
rewind at least 2 episodes...
Oh, wow.
...to watch, like, a half hour that I fell asleep, then yeah. You know that it wasn't that good because usually I'll stay awake.
Yeah.
Even if I'm tired, I'll figure out a way to stay awake. And I was just like, I had no investment in anybody.
Yeah.
Like literally, I'm like, I don't like anybody on this show.
So I watch a lot of the Hulu.
Besides, well, the Glow Girl. The Glow Girl was the only one where I was like, oh, well. But then they cheaped out on that.
Yeah. Carolina. I mean,
no, if you're going to spend money on special effects, show the fight between her and the bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what? What? Like, literally.
Well, they used all the budget for the dinosaur in that episode.
We did it where they were running away from it. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, okay. Whatever.
So this is a Hulu original. And I've watched a bunch of the Hulu original series. And what I'm finding, and this is right in line with it.
Okay.
Is they have a signature look and signature pace.
Okay.
I don't know. Did you watch The Handmaid's Tale yet?
No.
Have you watched The Path?
No.
And I'm guessing you didn't watch Casual either.
Trying to remember if I've watched any Hulu originals and if I will now.
So I feel like
if they have the same formula for every episode, every show.
It's not the same formula, but like, you know, it's kind of the same kind of look. And I'm using air quotes for look in the way it's. Let's ease our way into stories.
Okay.
Like none of their shows have really just jumped off the screen immediately.
Right.
You know, like Black Mirror is an anthology, but it jumps off the screen. Daredevil, Jessica Jones, those jumped off the screen immediately on Netflix. High Castle. You know, Man in the High Castle even jumps off the screen
right
from the get-go.
The problem was there was too much setup.
Yeah.
Too much. Like, literally, the book starts out with them,
they're on the run.
Yeah, they're literally on the run. They see the thing happen and, you know, they're on the run. I don't know if you want to spoil it or not.
We can spoil it. It's fine. Okay. So when they see their parents, you know, what they think kills that girl, where we know it didn't work the first time.
Right.
They should have run. I agree.
Right, yeah.
I think they did a big, and this is my biggest gripe. They did such a disservice by trying to pair these kids off in romantic relationships before they get them to take off.
It's 90210. And it's all that shit.
Gossip Girl. It's, you know.
Right, yeah.
Because I think if they would have been on the run, the Chase Gert thing works a little better.
Yeah.
Because while he's at school, he's still the big man on campus, and she's the nerdy uber feminist activist.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way they're getting together the way they did at prom. You know, even that. You know, you have Nico and Carolina who are going to be a couple. Which, again, you shrugged your shoulders. That's exactly the relationship. My response there.
You should take a picture of my face and put it up as the banner. Like, too formulaic.
It was formulaic.
Yeah, too formulaic.
Now, I love the comic.
Yeah.
It's been
years since I read the comic, but I'm like, I was sitting there going, this doesn't even feel like the
and
comic.
I like what they pulled out of it. I like that we got more of the adults. I did, because the adult cast is so good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They didn't have to cast. They needed to do the story the way the story should have been done and not cast known actors as their parents. As soon as they announced
all
it.
Known. Every single one of them. I know them from.
Well, literally, I went through the list because I'm like, I recognize everybody. And I'm like, oh, every single person's been on Major Crimes. And I've watched Major Crimes.
Major Crimes.
It's a TNT show.
Is that the Closer spinoff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like literally every single one of them had been on at least one episode of Major Crimes. Ever Carradine had a recurring role on Major Crimes.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, James Marsters is the only one that was not on Major Crimes.
Okay.
But I recognized him from being who he is.
He's Spike.
And then,
the Bloody,
what's
William
his name?
Bloody.
McMahon.
Julian McMahon.
Yeah. It's like, which he's an awesome villain, but it's like, did we need that villain? It's like, you've turned us into a Buffy the Vampire Slayer at this point.
Kinda.
He's the big bad.
Yeah,
he's the big bad. And there's something living down in the ground.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's the octopus that they didn't use in Watchmen.
Ooh, hey. Twist.
Crossover.
Twist.
They're going cross.
Does that mean
publisher.
Jackie or Earl Haley will be showing up at some point? Yes,
and he's gonna look down at them and say no.
Yes, or he just looked down at me and said no.
You know, I liked the adult cast, but you're right. They probably didn't need to go and get every single person who's been in things. Like, you have James Yagishi, I think is how you say his name, who was Hanzo on Lost,
right?
You know, and like. That's all I like. He's done a ton of stuff,
right?
But that's what I most remember.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, James Marsters is like, what? Where's your British accent at, buddy?
Well,
because it's not real. But I mean, it's like, you would sound so much better as a villain if you had the British accent.
Yeah. But then, you know, even you have Tina, the what's her actress? Brittany Ishabi Abashi.
Yeah, she played Karai in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
Yeah,
you know, and then Angela Parker was on the Strain. You know, Ever Carradine's been in a ton of stuff. Kip Pardue was Sunshine on. You know,
what happened to him?
Kip Pardue?
He's like so skinny now that I was like, did he get sick at some point? Because I mean, he was like bulked
up. Built,
yeah,
but I mean, he's been in stuff. I see him in stuff, and like, he was in was he in Driven? No, he wasn't in Race, or the one with Thor and Baron Zemo, the Ron Howard one. Rush. I don't think he was in that. I don't know why I was thinking that, but he was on Ray Donovan for a while. That's
Thor
what
and
I
Baron Zemo. The Ron Howard film Rush.
That's what I'm doing now. That's my thing.
That's Daniel Brühl
and Chris Hemsworth.
And Chris Hemsworth.
No, but I like.
Have you seen that? And we're getting off. We're gonna get off. I'm in that mood today. Have you seen the preview for Dundee?
I didn't watch it yet. Is it real?
It's real.
Is this a real movie?
Chris Hemsworth is in it.
Okay.
With using the Australian accent.
Daniel McBride is playing Brian Dundee.
Yeah. The kid from
the
Crocodile Dundee in Los
Crocodile
Angeles.
Crocodile Dundee, yeah. Which is pretty funny. All right. Just real quick.
I watched the little Instagram thing, yeah. And I was like, okay, this is actually happening.
So I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Gosh. But it's... I love Danny McBride.
Well, that's what I'm like. I seen Chris Hemsworth because Chris Hemsworth actually posted it. I'm like, okay, this might actually be worth seeing.
Super Troopers 2 came out, their preview.
Yeah.
That looks awesome.
I've never seen Super Troopers, so.
Oh, I'll pull it. Oh, it's on one of the streaming services, right?
I'm sure it is.
You know what you got to watch? It's on HBO now, is Club Dread.
Okay.
That was their first one.
All right.
That's a great one. Okay. So it's 10 episodes, right? I think you can cut out probably episodes 5 and 6 and you're fine.
Yeah.
Now, I really liked that they did Old Lace. That was one of my concerns.
Well, yeah, I was glad that
because Old Lace wasn't in any of the preview material.
No.
And
shouldn't have been.
Right, because it was a cool, the way they bring
her
in.
It's a cool reveal.
It's cool. But you got to admit, that dinosaur looked freaking awesome for a cable streaming service TV budget.
Yeah.
So it's no secret how much I hated Inhumans.
And so did
everybody
else,
did.
I never finished watching it.
I don't know why I kept watching. Anyway, you had people talking about, oh, Lockjaw looks great. Lockjaw looks great. Lockjaw did not look great.
Not compared to this.
Old Lace looks like the freaking T-Rex in the first Jurassic Park compared
to... She looks
to,
like the raptors in Jurassic Park.
But I'm saying compared to what Lockjaw looks like.
Yeah.
Lockjaw looks like I drew... Like I did it.
Oh,
and I'm not
computer.
An animator.
You animated it on your home computer?
Yeah.
Good job.
I did it
did
on
get
my...
a paycheck for
I
that?
Did it here on my MacBook Air and all of that.
But, and somebody's going, wait a minute, I did that on my MacBook Air.
I hope not, man. You need way more. Maybe that's why it looks so bad. Is they didn't have the processing power.
That's why
to
he's
get
floating.
It right. That's why he's 3 inches off the ground all the time, and doesn't have a shadow ever.
That's
anyway.
Disturbing.
Yeah. I'm excited for season 2. I definitely enjoyed this. I give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I wanted more from the kids and less from the pride.
Yeah, that whole
I
thing.
I think this is like a long game that they're trying to play, and I felt like it was a dangerous gamble.
Yeah.
Because if this hadn't been picked up for a second season, I would have been pissed.
Like at the end with them just running?
At the
running.
End with them finally getting together to run. I would have been pissed that that's how long it took them. Because the adventures that they have on the road are what made this book special.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Is like
Brian K. Vaughan was involved. He was a producer. Like
consulting,
I don't know
consulting
producer,
right? Yeah.
So I don't know how much he was involved.
Probably not much. Besides, those are his characters, and
they just got the credit. He just gave him a credit.
Here's the credit.
Like Stan Lee's the executive producer, kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. And I'm like, wait a minute, Brian K. Vaughan worked on Lost. Why didn't you hire him to work on his own characters?
I don't know. But
because he did not have the vision that they wanted.
He's busy taking his break from
life
saga.
Well, you know,
that book will get finished. Oh, speaking of comics, did you see the next issue of Doomsday Clock comes out in February? So number 4 comes out in February. Number 5 doesn't come out until May. And then they're going to every other month schedule.
Done. Done.
No one's ever going to finish that book.
Done. It's going to be like Camelot 3000, where the last issue didn't come out for... Or no, yeah, it was Camelot 3000, where the last issue didn't come out for 2 years or something.
Right.
Whatever.
Anyway. All right, so what would you rate this? Would you give this a ranking? Like 5? 5 out of 10? Lower?
No, I'd give it like a 6, 7.
So I'll say this. I liked every episode of this much better than I liked Crocodile.
Boring. Just boring.
Yeah.
Everybody was good. Everybody was on their game.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was, you know, playing the characters the way that you expected the characters to play. But mm-hmm. it was too formulaic that it was like, you know, that took it down for me. And like I said, just boring to me. I don't know.
So this is the first, like,
looking for something more.
Yeah. So, what's like, if names? You look at this versus Future Man.
Oh, Josh Schwartz, Stephanie Savage.
Yeah.
Give me a call.
Do better. But if you look at this between, like, Future Man.
Yeah.
Future Man did a good job just hopping right into the story.
Yeah.
And that's what this needed to do. And I would give Future Man a solid 8 out of 10.
And I haven't watched Future Man yet, but
it's fun. It's much darker and much more crass than what this is, obviously.
Right.
I do think my two big problems were they played up the romances inaccurately. Yeah,
inappropriately. Talking like the high school type romances.
But
like the thing with the love affair.
Yeah.
Like that made
sense.
Oh,
with the parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That story to me made sense. But then there was things where I groaned, like the James Marsters character being the abusive father. I was just like, come on, how many times have we got to do that?
Every.
Yeah. It's like there's always got to be the kid who's, you know, got smacked around and now he's going to smack his dad around.
But he's smarter than his dad, too, which was
interesting. Yeah. Well, and I'm like, that part was cool because it's like then his dad's like.
He's like, wait a second. Wait, you figured out this talking to yourself in the future thing?
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, that was the thing is like, you know, the whole showing the future vision thing where Los Angeles was falling into the ground. It's like, well, that's not happening now.
Maybe they
stopped the drilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can always get another drill.
Yeah, well, you know. That's if James Marsters survives.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was kind of hokey, too.
Yeah. All right. So you'd say 5, you said? 5 out of 10?
No.
Or 6.
6
out of 10. Yeah. So I think
I give it a 6, a high 6.
You know, I think a 6, a 7, that's like, that's good. That's not a bad rating.
No,
like, I'm not bashing.
I told you I didn't think this was a bad show. It's not a bad show.
I understand.
It's just
the
a boring
issues,
show.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like.
It looks great too.
Oh, I gotta finish watching this.
It really did look great.
And I literally Sunday night was like, I'm gonna get through these last
I gotta
three.
Power through.
I'm gonna get through these last three. If it takes like me to fall asleep and wake up 3 times, and I didn't fall asleep. The last 3 were good episodes. But I just was like, at this point, I'm like, oh, so now the comic book's starting.
Yeah. I don't. I just feel like they decided to give more backstory than they needed to.
Too much backstory.
Because part of the fun of the comic was you didn't know why these kids were necessarily on the run or their parents had done.
If you have the option of that where you don't have the commercials, where you want to pay the extra $7 and not have commercials on Hulu.
Is it 7?
I think it's the extra $7.
I pay $11.99.
Yeah,
it was.
You probably were in on the old,
old
thing. So it's $7 and something with commercials, and it's $14 something without commercials.
Okay,
you're lucky. That was another thing that kind of got on my nerves.
Were there a lot of commercial breaks?
Just repeating commercials. It's like if you're gonna put commercials in there,
okay, so,
and you're paying for them, you're paying them to put the commercials in there, or the commercial providers are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to play the same commercial every break.
So here's the problem with Hulu.
Yeah.
With commercials.
Yeah.
Because I've worked at companies where we put commercials on Hulu. They have so much inventory.
Right.
That you can get commercials for really, really cheap. And
right.
say, great, I want to be in every single ad break for these 12 shows.
Sure.
And it's really easy to do. So, but the Hulu media sales team.
Yeah.
Does not do a good enough job about going and getting other brands to
right,
have the first deal commercials.
Right,
So it's
It's just, you know, there's computer programs that'll randomize stuff.
Yeah.
Put them on a randomizer. So it's not the same commercial. Like, there could be the same commercial in there, like, twice, but not on the next break.
So I've had a.
And stop running commercials with the Runaways in them talking about Los Angeles. I don't care.
When we had the commercial break, what got me to go and buy and pay the extra.
I'm tempted to now.
We were sitting there, we were watching, it was 3 commercial break. It was the same commercial 3 times.
Yeah.
And I went over to the computer and I upgraded me.
Yeah, and I think that they're doing that on purpose, so you actually like pay for that extra.
But they get more money by having people do by having brands pay for commercials than my lousy $4 a month.
Yeah, $7 now.
Whatever it is, yeah.
I think it's $7 now more. But it was just one of those things where the Runaways commercials didn't have to be every break.
Right.
Where they were talking about Los Angeles and how shooting in Los Angeles is a, you know, a great thing. And that, yeah, shooting in Los Angeles is a great thing. That's why they do it for almost everything.
Yeah.
That's but guess what? Shooting in Canada is awesome, too. Yeah. And shooting in Cincinnati, Ohio is awesome,
in
too.
Toronto.
In Toronto.
Cleveland.
At the right time of year.
Los Angeles or New Orleans.
So,
you know.
And since we're talking about streaming and that type of stuff, are you going to do the CBS All Access?
No. I mean, I'll try maybe a free week.
Yeah, just do the free week and watch Discovery. Have you been seeing what's going on Discovery?
No, because I want to, like, you know, I want to try and stay relatively spoiler-free. I'm not excited for it. I mean, I told you I wasn't excited for Discovery when they announced
it. I'm not excited for it, but I'm very curious to watch it now.
Okay.
Just because of what they're doing. Just to see if I get pissed off or not.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's gone in a way that I wouldn't have seen it going.
Okay. So I mean, I think that's a good thing.
I avoid the spoilers to the point of I don't find out what happens in the episode.
Yeah.
But I find out what the episodes are about.
Okay.
And the one thing that that isn't really a spoiler because somebody figured it out like the second episode was a character's not who they seem to be.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, well, that's not a spoiler. But it's cool, like, what they do with it. And so, but I'm very curious to see where the show's going. I don't think it's taking Fair place enough. In the original universe.
You think it's in the Kelvin?
At this point, I don't even think it's taking place in Kelvin. I think that they might have decided to do another timeline.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because if this is going on in the original universe, then they've totally effed everything up.
Yeah.
So
I'm like I said, like I'm not a fan of the time frame that it was in from the get-go. So that turned me off to it completely.
I mean the list always of stuff that pops up where it's like the 10 things they've gotten wrong on Discovery.
Oh really?
And it's like everything that they've put on that list, I have not even watched the show. But I'm like, Yeah. Like going down a list going, wow, all 10 of them are right.
I think it's unfair that people are like, I'm sure someone's like, oh, they're not watching it because it's a black female lead. And that's not the case at all because we loved her on The Walking Dead and they wasted her on The Walking Dead.
My whole thing is I didn't want to pay for another service.
Like, I'm going to tell you right now, I love Young Justice. It's one of my all-time favorite cartoons. Yeah. I'm not paying for the Warner Brothers or DC streaming service.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely not.
Is it Warner Brothers or?
I think it's a D, like, I don't know. But, like, I'm not paying to watch that or Titans, you know?
Oh, is that where Titans is going now? Okay. Sorry for running, but.
So yeah. I will be more than happy to buy Young Justice when it comes out on iTunes.
Yeah.
And own it.
Yeah.
But there's no way in hell I'm paying a monthly fee.
Right.
To watch. What's going to be 26 episodes that comes out week over week.
And that's the other thing. Have they even announced anything? Like, you know, and this is any streaming show. Yeah. Any streaming show. Have they announced, like, Discovery being for sale after the season's over?
I don't. I mean, usually it is.
I tell you what on these streaming shows. If you're going to, and Game of Thrones does not count because it's not a streaming show. It's actually on HBO. Right. But if you're going to put a streaming show out, get that damn thing out as soon as it's over.
Well, you can buy like House of Cards and all of that on DVD and on iTunes and on Amazon.
Because
I'll be
happy to not pay for your subscription service, but I'll be happy to go buy that box set for the sale price it'll be the week it comes out and just watch it all at once. And then I might actually be inclined to
subscribe.
Subscribe to watch that second season.
I think I like your idea. I don't think they do it right away. I think you wait 4 weeks.
Yeah, a month is fine.
You wait one month because people can avoid spoilers for a month relatively easy nowadays. But you wait 1 month and then you put out the box set or you put out, or you know, the box set in the digital
or
version.
Or just send it to me. Just mail it to me.
P.O. Box.
Yeah.
182.
Do we have
Kings
a P.O.
Mills,
box?
Ohio 45034.
Hey, there you go. Send it to the P.O. Box and we'll review it.
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, If anybody from any of those streaming services are listening, we do have a listenership.
Yeah.
And we would be happy to review a show and let you know, you know, as a real big fan of Star Trek and a mild fan of Star Trek.
I'm more than a mild fan. You, so.
I think I tainted you, but...
I have my... I'm my
1 year of Star Trek.
Well, you did burn me out. There is that.
But the thing is I would watched, be happy... Yeah. To review,
yeah.
Even if you sent me like the first five episodes,
even the first episode,
yeah. Just a digital link for like two or three episodes, so I could tell you how the story feels, and that any of these streaming services.
There's websites we have to go to and link. Just sign up. It's okay. Just us being lazy.
Sure.
Why we don't get to do that?
Well, stop being lazy. Get to work.
Oh yeah, it's all on me, isn't it?
Get to work. I'm counting inventory over here. Get to work.
Anywho, all right. Well, cool.
No, I like I said, this is a good show. It's just a plotting show.
Yeah.
So if you've got like a day where you're not doing anything, I definitely recommend watching it.
There's no way I would have binged this all the way through.
Oh, hell no.
Being able to watch week over week was the ideal way to watch this
show. Yeah, I think I probably should have done that. And so, if they do that with the second season, I will do that.
They will. The Hulu doesn't typically put everything out.
But it was that was probably my error.
Well, like I binged the first season of The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
There's no way I'm binging the second season. Okay. Because like I'm like cutting
out. Oh,
like, you know, okay. Like that's a horrible world they
Brian
created,
just became a cutter.
it's a horrible
world as the story is.
Yes, the story. Okay, like, okay. You know, like they've created this just awful place.
Well,
for
right.
Just
it's
humans
a dystopian
in general.
Future,
most specifically
blah, blah.
Women.
Well.
But like The Path. You can't sit and watch The Path all the way
and
through.
And that's
you
the one that's what's his name?
Aaron Paul.
Yeah.
And it's got three seasons.
What
already.
The hell is that about?
A cult.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like it's about a cult, but it looks weird.
The first season was really good.
Okay.
So I haven't watched the second or third season yet, but the first season was really good.
I don't
good.
Have enough time to really watch like all this stuff, but you know, I still have to catch up on the DC shows.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I will be doing in the next couple of weeks.
Man, Supergirl last night was not good.
Yeah?
It's
the weakest of them all right now?
Well, no, Arrow is the weakest.
Arrow's still the weakest of them all?
Arrow has run its course.
I've been officially permitted to watch all of this now and catch up without her. So I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna zoom through the Flash. And I'm going to travel with the legends. And I'm gonna take a shot at the Arrow.
There you go.
And I don't
and
know.
And you're going to believe a woman can fly.
Oh, really? I'm going to dodge a bullet with Supergirl.
Wasn't it the tagline for the 1978 Superman?
You'll believe a man can fly. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I like I'm going to dodge a bullet with Supergirl better.
I like season two of Supergirl.
And I'm going to check out Black Lightning because now that this moratorium's off, I can watch Black Lightning.
I watched Black Lightning.
And?
I enjoyed the pilot. I want you to see it before.
Is it an Arrowverse?
No.
Okay.
It's not in the Arrowverse. My problem with Black Lightning is I see them following some of the same tropes of Luke Cage.
Oh, God.
So I'll leave it at that. Now, Cree Williams is freaking awesome. I love that guy.
Yeah.
James Remar is awesome.
Remar's in it?
Yep.
Sweet.
And I'm excited to see the girls manifest their power.
Okay.
Even though they're older, they're not little kids.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
And on that note.
On that note, we will see you guys next week.
And go to Comixology and buy something and use Infamous.
Infamous.
And are we still doing Patreon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Patreon.
And go to Patreon.
And 5 stars.
And Ohio Toy and Comic Show has announced their date. It's the 22nd of July.
Cool. We'll be there.
You may be there. May be a problem with that, but we'll figure that out.
Okay. Well, if Johnny's not there, I won't be there.
Oh, anyway. What? Somebody's got to be there.
All right. Well, on that note, ladies, gentlemen, robot overlords.
Robot overlords.
We'll see you guys next week.
That's a band name.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.